evening, truth seekers. It is I. Never fear, it is I. As the woman in the radio studio here said to me just before we went on the air, oh, hello, not Mike Malloy. That's me. I'm not Mike Malloy. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com. Sitting in once again tonight, it is hump day on the Mike Malloy Show as Mike and Kathy are out enjoying a much deserved vacation, a break. They'll be back with you next week. Never fear. Until then, you got me broadcasting live from the left coast and the beautiful from the Stephanie Miller Studios. They should have that outside on the door now. The Stephanie Miller Studios of K-Talk AM 1150 right here in beautiful downtown Burbank. Glad you could join us. We've got a big show. Going to be an interesting show, I think. Well, we'll see. Well, for one, our producer, Desi Doyen, she ain't here. But you know what? She's just been holding the show back, as far as I'm concerned. So who needs her? She's not here tonight. She's out taping something with the Young Turks. So if you ever wondered what Desi Doyen looks like, my producer here and my co-host on the Green News Report, you'll be able to find out. What, Thursday, Friday, something like that, I think. She's on the Young Turks' The Point, their panel show. So she's not here tonight. However, our super-duper associate producer, Margo Paez, is sitting in and doing double duty, maybe even triple duty. If everything goes wrong tonight, we will blame Margo. Speaking of blaming Margo, feel free to come on by and blame her yourself at the chat room, bradblog.com. The very top item there, go to it. You'll see the links to follow it through to the chat room. And if you can't figure it out, why, we don't want you in the chat room anyway. Yes, we do. We want you there. Come on by and say hello. It's always a lively chat room. For Earth is in there watching Margo's back. Oh, it's going to be an interesting night. So that's the chat room. What else? Our phone number tonight, 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Write it down. You may want it. You may want to be on your public airwaves. And that's what I'm here to deliver to you. Access to your public airwaves, because for progressives out there in this nation, good luck getting that access. Our public airwaves have been just taken from us, just stolen from us by huge corporations, and we're fighting to tell the truth out here. And that's what I'll be doing tonight, fighting to tell the truth. Although, you know what, I'm in a better last. I don't know if you heard last night's show. If you didn't, I hope you have a Mike Malloy podcast subscription to support Progressive Radio and listen to it that way. And if you don't have that, well, I posted a last night show on Bradblog. And I had a monster rant in the third hour, damn near burst a brain vessel or something like that, just about the state of our electoral system. But so, you know, I got it out of my system. We had Ion Sancho, the election director from Florida, supervisor of elections down there from Florida, who said, yeah, Brad, no, you're absolutely right. We are playing with fire with our electoral system. And I didn't want him to say that. I wanted him to say, you're crazy. Everything is fine. Yes, the Republicans are out there. They're trying to keep people from voting, but we're pushing back. And at least, you know, if you can get into that voting booth, if you can cast your vote, it'll be counted. It'll be counted accurately, and you needn't worry. That's not what he said. He said, yeah, we're playing with fire and that most of the country doesn't bother to verify their elections. So, yeah, we're screwed. Anyway, so I had a bit of a rant on that issue. We talked about Wisconsin earlier in the week and the fact that nobody really knows who won and who lost out there, but we're all pretending as though we do. So I got that out of my system. So I've got other things now that I've been looking forward to getting to that we're going to hit tonight. Among them, we will be joined by, this is sort of somewhat cursorily related. Trent Lang is going to be joining us. He's the president of the California Clean Money Campaign to discuss AB 1648. I know it sounds dry, but stay with me. The California Disclose Act. And this is an opportunity to push back finally against Citizens United. I know there's a lot of efforts around the country out there to push back against Citizens United, but there are not enough efforts and there are not enough organized efforts. I don't know how much this one difference this one will make. We'll find out from Trent Lang. It will only apply to California if it passes out here. But, you know, as goes California, so goes the rest of the nation. So that's not going to make me mad. I got it out of my system. Everything's going to be fine. Fine. I'm Mr. Nice Guy tonight. No worries. What could possibly go wrong? Who could possibly call and tick me off? Well, we'll see. Also in the show, really interesting situation. Doug Weed, who is a presidential historian, a New York Times bestseller, and a senior advisor to one Ron Paul and his presidential campaign. There's a reason I'm having Doug Weed on, and it's not just because Ron Paul's senior advisor is a guy named Weed. Although that seems terribly appropriate. There's something really interesting going on that I don't think most of America is paying attention to. America's not paying attention to it because the media isn't paying attention to it. Something is going on at county conventions, county GOP conventions, state GOP conventions. Ron Paul is racking up delegates. And nobody's paying attention. He's racking up delegates. He's winning sometimes a majority of delegates in states that Mitt Romney won the primary. What is this going to mean? 30 states, as I understand it, do not require their GOP delegates to vote for the presumptive GOP nominee. Are we about to see a surprise in Tampa? Is the Republican National Convention going to be a lot more interesting than anybody right now believes? Add to that, and I'll go into more detail later in the show, but add to that the fact that the Ron Paul folks, love him or hate him, the Ron Paul folks, they've learned the rules of these conventions, they've learned the rules of parliamentary procedure, and they are, in some cases, damn near at war with the GOP establishment at these conventions. Ron Paul supporters have been arrested for doing nothing, for having the crime of being in the majority at these conventions and trying to get their delegates pushed through legally. And as per the rules, they've been arrested. They've been, their delegates have been run out. I'll go into detail in the next. Broken bones as recently as last week in Louisiana. And all of this stuff is being caught on video, but it's not being played in the mainstream media. It's an incredible story. So buckle up, because I'm really looking forward to talking to Doug Weed to basically ask him about all of this and to ask him, what is Ron Paul's game here? What are they hoping to accomplish? What is going to happen in Tampa? Actually, I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation. So I want you to make sure to stay tuned for that. Okay, what else do we have? Did I do all the business? I did the chat room. I did the Twitter. You can meet me on the Twitters at The Brad Blog. That's my name, The Brad Blog, over on the Twitters. And we're going to try to get you to a bunch of your phone calls as well as the night goes on. Okay, very quickly here before we go to a break, just a couple of quick items. Oh, this won't tick me off at all. NRA, it appears, is now offering Stand Your Ground insurance. That's right. For just $165 a year, the National Rifle Association has encouraged its members to purchase new self-defense insurance. Let's call it murder insurance. Let's say you murder someone, you're killing a burglar, you're killing people who you think are burglars, you're killing people who are drinking Skittles and iced tea. You don't have to worry about covering your defense costs as long as you have the NRA's endorsed property and casualty insurance program, because no one understands firearms insurance better than the National Rifle Association. For $165, just in case you feel you might murder someone in one of these Stand Your Ground states, just in case you're out on community patrol, let's say, And though it's raining, you're still scared of people in hoodies. You might want to go out and spend $165 for this insurance with the NRA, and then you're covered. No worries. That doesn't seem to me to be a good idea, but, you know, what do I know? This comes via, I should say, Matt Boers, the cartoonist, editorial cartoonist. And as it's pointed out, this is a bit of a scoop here that he got, that he included in his editorial cartoon. And, yeah, you can get this. Let's see. It provides coverage up to the limit selected for criminal and civil defense costs, the cost of civil suit defense. That's provided in addition to the limit of liability for bodily injury and property damage. And criminal defense reimbursement is provided for alleged criminal actions involving self-defense when you are acquitted of such criminal charges or the charges are dropped. I think it only makes sense. Be safe out there, America. You're listening to Brad on The Mike Malloy Show. Stay tuned. Much more straight ahead.
Look for the bare necessity, simple bare necessity. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessity.
That's right. Everything's fine. What could possibly go wrong? Way to go, Tony. Good music. That's right. It's the Kinder, gentler, Brad. I've got it all out of my system. I've got nothing to be angry about. Everything is fine. I feel much better, much happier. What? Rants from me? No. Not going to happen. Everything's fine. look, here's some good news. Let me give you some quick good news. Because normally I'd have Desi talk about this, but she's not here. So I'll just, but the public understanding of climate science has rebounded. Now 72% of independents say there is solid evidence of global warming. See? America is finally getting it. Everything is fine. Brookings released a new survey, confirms other recent polls, by the way, that public understanding of climate science is finally rebounding, and the recent record-smashing extreme weather events are playing a key role. They don't mention, of course, the Green News Report that Desi and I do, nationally syndicated across the country. We think that's mainly the reason why people are getting it. But anyway, they attribute it to the better the extreme weather that's been going on, and the fact that this was a year without a winter for most of the country. Did you notice that? I'm sure you did. A lot of people did. A lot of people noticed that in the month of March, 15,000 records were smashed. Heat records were smashed. That these have been the hottest 12 past months in the history of our record keeping in the U.S. This has been the hottest spring on record. So maybe people are finally starting to get it. Well, not all the people. Turns out that in the spring of 2011, Democrats, 73% of them, were 73% of those polled believe that there's solid evidence of global warming. Well, that's good. In spring of 2012, that's up to 81%. That's, what is that? 8%. An 8% increase among Democrats who understanding, you know, science and stuff about global warming. Independents had a huge jump. And this is really quite huge. In spring of 2011, independents were at 52%. Who believed in the solid evidence of global warming. And now in spring of 2012, 72%, a 20% jump. That's pretty huge. And Republicans, let's see. In spring of 2011, the Republicans, 42% back in the spring of 2011, believed in the solid evidence of global warming. But now, in spring of 2012, that total has remained completely flat at 42%. What has to happen for these people to get it? We had a year without a winter. We've had the last 12 months, the hottest months ever recorded in the U.S. since I think we started keeping records in 1865. What happens, what needs to happen for you Republicans to get it? Oh, that's right. You need to stop watching Fox News, where they are lying to you like it's nobody's business, where they are funded by the fossil fuel companies who have every interest in keeping you confused, lost, misinformed, disinformed. Anyway, a lot of people are were responding to the change in the weather in their responses, and there's an upside downside to that. Of course, as soon as a blizzard hits next winter, they'll all go, "Oh, never mind. There's no global warming because it's snowing in my backyard." Anyway, all right. So that's one item. Do I have time? Boy, I don't even know if I have time for this. I'll try. I'll get part of this. The Democrats are becoming more and more vocal in expressing to their donor base the need to pony up funds to outspend spending groups. To pony up funds to outside spending groups. There we go. The same third-party groups that still make many Democratic supporters cringe. On Tuesday, the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee, the DSCC, became the latest to tell Democrats to hold their nose and send money fast. June, July, and August are a critical time, said Guy Cecil, executive director of the DSCC, to TPM, to Talking Points Memo. We need our side to wake up. Oh, really? Do you, Democrats? Is that what you need now? Where have you been since January of 2010? When Citizens United was rammed through this Supreme Court. When everything that we're seeing now, when the insane spending we're seeing, the insane spending we saw in Wisconsin, when we knew that all was coming. Yes, some of you were concerned about it. But where was the organized effort to do something about it? Did you get a wake-up call in Wisconsin? If you didn't, you're going to get one in the months ahead. We're going to talk about that a little bit coming up next. Stay with us. Brad in for Malloy. That's it. Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, and tonight substitute host for Mike Malloy. And glad you could join us here tonight. We will go to my guest in a moment. I just want to finish this thought because it ties in to what my guest Trent Lang is here to talk about. I was talking about the panic that the Democrats are suddenly in, just, what, 5 months out before the election? Oh, my God, we need money. We need people to send money to these third-party groups so that we can compete with the Republicans. Where have you people been? Where has your effort been up until now? Why haven't you been out every single damn day raising holy hell about Citizens United, demanding a constitutional amendment, demanding some sort of solution? Now you're concerned about it? This from Evan McMorris Santoro at Talking Points Memo. He says, big spending from outside groups has changed the dynamics of the battle for the control of the Senate. According to Guy Cecil, executive director of the Democratic Senate Campaign Committee. And that means Democrats can't focus solely on grassroots operations or drag their feet until the waning days of the election to donate. They need the kind of big bucks that pays for TV ads, and they need them soon. The DSCC says it is proud of the cash it has raised so far for its candidates, but the group is also freely admitting that without the help of outside spending like the ones swooping into races across the country on behalf of Republicans, they won't be able to capitalize on their candidates' fundraising successes. The DSCC says it doesn't need to achieve parity with the GOP to stay competitive, but the disadvantage needs to be smaller than 4-1. Which is about where it is now. Republican allied groups like 60 Plus, the Karl Rove founded American Crossroads, and the Chamber of Commerce have spent $36 million in Senate races already. Yes, $36 million buying the Senate. Democratic supporting groups have spent closer to $12 million, and $3 million of that was spent in Massachusetts before Democratic nominee Elizabeth Warren and Senator Scott Brown voluntarily agreed to keep third-party money out of the race. How much you want to bet the third-party money doesn't stay out of the race when we come down to the wire? And if it's third-party money, how does Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown have any say over it whatsoever? Doesn't that put a lie to the fact that this third-party money is, oh, it's a super PAC, we have no control over that? The DSCC said Democrats need between $40 million and $50 million in outside money to fight back against the ad campaigns that are already coming their way. Speaking of those ad campaigns that are already coming everybody's way, if you've had a primary in your state, you know what this has been like. It is insane. And now some folks out here in California are going to try, at least, to do something about it with AB 1648, the California Disclose Act. And I want to let you know what that is, because as California goes, so goes the rest of the nation quite often. I'm joined now by Trent Lang. He's the president of the California Clean Money Campaign, a nonprofit organization working on the problems of big money in politics for over 10 years, and he and the sponsor of AB 1648, the California Disclose Act. It's currently in the assembly out here in California. It has 44 co-authors, but is facing great opposition from, guess who? The California Chamber of Commerce and its allies. Gosh, I wonder why the Chamber of Commerce would be against disclosure. It can either be passed. Well, I'll go into what it's going to take to pass it. Trent Lang, welcome, sir, to the Mike Malloy Show.
Welcome, Brad. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
I'm delighted to have you, and I'm delighted you guys are trying again to do something about this big money mess that is absolutely destroying this country. Not just the big money, but the big lying ads that the big money goes to. All right, give me an idea. What is AB 1648? What will it do? How will it change our current electoral system?
Well, we believe that if we can pass the California Disclose Act here in California, that it will change the game for political ads. One of the biggest problems with the ads is people see the ads and then they have no idea where those ads are coming from, and they usually have fake names like Californians for Healthy Puppies and Stop Hidden Taxes
yes.
and things like that. You know, so
taxpayers in favor of children. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, that's right. Who's for hidden taxes? You know.
Right.
You know, but when you get right down to it, the funders of these are often big, bad, special interests that people knew they wouldn't trust. And they look at the ads in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it that way. And what the California Disclose Act would do is just says a very simple thing. All political ads for ballot measures and independent expenditures, TAC ads and super PACs, et cetera, have to show their top three funders very clearly on the screen for 3 seconds, nothing else, and their logos so that people can see exactly who is paying for the ads.
Well, this seems to make sense. This is opposed to these tiny little letters where it says paid for by citizens against taxes and blah, 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 and you can't see it at all. You're saying AB 1648 would say at the end of the ad, I guess, top funders for this ad for yes on Prop 15 are Chevron, Philip Morris USA, Chamber of Commerce, and it would show their logos.
That's right. Make it very simple and straightforward so that people can see exactly who's paying for it. And it's even-handed across the board. If it's being paid for by corporations, you see the corporations. If it's being paid for by labor unions, you'll see the unions. If it's being paid for by billionaires, you'll see the billionaires, whether it's David Koch or George Soros.
Well, now, so
across the board.
So this makes sense. Everybody should agree to this because it's got, you have to, if it's the unions, the teachers' union, you know, the evil Communist Party, whoever it is that's secretly sponsoring these ads, now we'll have to see their names and we'll see their logos. So surely everyone agrees to this bill, and this should go right through, get to Jerry Brown's desk any minute, right?
Well, that's an interesting point. 84% of Californians, by the last California field poll, agree with this kind of disclosure. So if the legislature were to listen to the overwhelming majority, you'd never see anything like this. It's amazing. The poll shows that 84% of union members and 83% of Tea Party members want more disclosure on political ads. You know, it's
right.
Just shocking. Unfortunately,
so it's a
as
slam.
You mentioned, the California Chamber of Commerce and its allies, like the manufacturers and others, they are fighting it tooth and nail for some strange reason.
AB 1648 is a secret plan to destroy your family. I can see the ads already. What are the Chamber of Commerce? I'm tempted to say, what are they lying about when it comes to this bill? But what is their complaint? Have they said out loud why they would oppose such a bill? Have they given a public reason why they would oppose such a bill? We know
their
why
public,
they would, but what's their reason?
Their public reason is that they say it's an attempt to chill corporate speech. Because gosh knows, if a corporation has to admit to what they're saying in their political ads, they won't want to say it. That's apparently their theory.
An attempt, really? They really said that, to chill corporate speech?
That's right. They believe it's an attempt to they say it's an attempt to chill corporate speech.
And what is corporate speech? Is there any such thing actually as corporate speech? I understand public speech. If they said it was, you know, to chill free speech, to chill the First Amendment, but chill corporate speech, really?
Well, of course, according to our Supreme Court, corporations are people too. So,
so they have speech.
They have speech. Yes.
Well, okay. What is the status? Unbelievable. Does this bill, by the way, does this bill do anything else, or is that it? Is it as simple as that you have to disclose who the funders are in these television ads? Does this work for radio, by the way, as well?
For radio ads. You'd have to say in your radio, its top funders for this ad are Chevron, American Beverage Association, Philip Morris, which were three on a proposition last in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And details at a website where it requires the websites for committees to list the top 10 funders to get a little bit more information for people. So it provides that. It requires in California for the first time candidates to go and say, I'm Jerry Brown and I approve this message. California candidates don't have to do that yet. Only federal candidates have to.
Okay.
But the big thing is making sure that the top three funders are shown in TV ads and radio ads and those mailers that jam everybody's mailboxes, the works.
I would think that even Justice Antonin Scalia would agree with you. You guys have a quote on some of your literature here from Scalia in Doe versus Reed, 2010. He said, requiring people to stand up in public for their political acts fosters civic courage, without which democracy is doomed. So Scalia would agree with this bill. He'd have no problem with this, right?
Well, he has certainly stood up for the virtues of disclosure, and we hope that once we pass this bill and get it on the works, and once it's taken to courts, as surely the opponents would do, that Scalia and the other ones, 8 out of 9 of the justices in the Citizens United case that said they're going to have unlimited funding, also said that you really need more disclosure to stop groups from hiding behind devious, deceptive, and misleading names.
Superb. So this bill is as good as done. Nobody could possibly disagree with it other than the Chamber of Commerce. So what's the status? What's the current status of AB 1648, the California Disclose Act? When will it be passed and signed by Jerry Brown?
Well, Well, we're working on that. It has huge support, as we've mentioned. 64,000 Californians have signed a petition for it, 44 co-authors, including 43 Democrats. Unfortunately, it requires the straight passage would require a two-thirds vote, and we're just not able to get any Republicans to sign on. They've been hearing from that Chamber of Commerce. We're still working at it. Another option, though, Democrats actually could pass this themselves and put it on the ballot, because AB 1648 could, a majority of the legislature could vote to put it on the ballot in 2014.
How many legislators short are you of that two thirds, and how many Republicans would you need to get this this bill passed?
We are one vote short right now, one Republican vote short, and unfortunately we have so far not been able to get any Republican votes so far.
Any Democrats against this bill, that if you got one of the Democrats, you wouldn't need the Republican?
No, all the Democrats have either are either co-authors of the current bill or voted for the last bill, so we would expect them all to vote for it. One of the independent members of the legislature, who actually used to be a Republican in January, Nathan Fletcher, he's also a co-author of the bill. He left the Republican Party saying he didn't like partisan politics anymore. He's a co-author, so that's why we're one vote short.
One vote short. Unbelievable. And it needs, I guess, at this point to be a Republican to get that two-thirds. Why does it have to be two-thirds? This doesn't raise taxes. Why do you have to have a two-third majority to pass this?
It's amending the Political Reform Act of 1974, which was put on the ballot by the people, and they, in their wisdom at the time, required the legislature to get two-thirds without amending it. Otherwise, all disclosure in California might have disappeared long ago. So it was a good rule, but it does make it difficult to pass it, especially in such a partisan environment.
Wow.
But there is also the option to, as we said, for Democrats to stand up and say, okay, if the Republicans just simply aren't going to do it, then we're going to amend the bill to put it on the ballot and let the people decide.
So it goes on the ballot, and then the Chamber of Commerce gets to run all their sneaky, deceptive ads without their logo showing against it. Okay, I got it. Well, all right. Well, so I got to get out to a break here, Trent. Where can folks go to help here to try to get something done, something positive done in this country?
They can go to www.yesfairelections.org, yesfairelections.org, sign the petition for the Disclose Act. There's links there to call your legislature and urge them to pass it. They've been hearing a lot from regular Californians. That's the sort of thing that's pushing it forward. So people sign up, sign the petition, and let's help this pass it and then forward to the rest of the nation.
Trent Lang, yesfairelections.org. Thank you, brother. Keep up the fight and keep us notified how it goes. You're listening to Brad on The Molloy Show. Stay with us.
Is free, but you can give it to the birds and bees. I need some money.
Oh, yes. Need some money. Please, oh, yeah. Please, never mind your policies. Never mind your ideas. Just give me your money. Welcome back to the Mike Molloy Show, 877-520-1150. That's our phone number. We're going to speak with Doug Weed in the next hour. Senior advisor to Ron Paul about what the hell is going on inside the Ron Paul campaign that, once again, the mainstream corporate media is not telling you about and is left to me. You're welcome. But we got a few folks who called in, so let's see if we can get some calls before the top of the hour. Hey, Diane, welcome to the Mike Molloy Show. Diane in Laguna Beach, California. Oh, girlfriend.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Diane.
Caught me with something in my mouth. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
My apologies.
Got it. All right. Sorry. all right. I think that what we need to do, as a progressive Democrat, I can barely hold my nose and vote for Obama. I really morally almost can't do it.
Understood.
So what I would like to see, because I cannot give money to the Democratic Party or the DNCC, I feel sorry for those people that call me.
Right.
I would love to have an ad campaign that people can, from both parties, Ron Paul people or whoever, people on the other side that are also disgusted, that says something. I'd love to see it on billboards. I'd like to see one commercial that just says something like, are you fed up and confused by the ads? hit the off button and go to followthemoney.com.
Uh-oh. Have you got followthemoney.com? Have you been to GoDaddy? You better get over there.
No,
register it quick.
I'm not a computer geek. Somebody on our side who's, you know, cares about democracy, please do it. But
well, yeah, the way to make sure you get that domain is to come on a national radio show and mention it. That'll work.
Yeah, right.
That'll...
And somebody else. Then if you, okay, but something like that,
yeah.
You know, something to that,
yeah.
Like that is what we need. Because I don't mind giving money, but I would like to have, you know, you're giving to this media mm-hmm. person, you know, all the independent media I love to give to, but it's just really hard. You know, you want to.
No, I know.
You don't have enough money. And so a single source would be great. Plus,
yeah.
I'm going to go to my neighbors that have Ron Paul stickers, especially one in particular, and I'm going to say, you vote for your person. We'll show each other our absentee ballots, and I'm voting for the Green Party or whatever, or
yeah.
Rocky Anderson were on the ballot. I'd vote for him.
Yeah.
But I just want to make a statement. I don't want to vote for Obama, but I don't want to throw my vote away either. And
well,
I
you're listening. Let me, and Diane, I got to get to another call here before the break, but let me tell you what. When you vote for anybody you want, you are not wasting your vote. There is no such thing as a wasted vote. You don't win a prize if you pick the winner. You vote the way you want to vote, Diane, okay? And by the way, followthemoney.com is already taken by a squatter. I'm looking at it here. You'd have to pay. You have to get a whole bunch of money to buy it off of them. Thanks, Dan. I got to run. I'm running up against the clock.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Ron in Prescott, Arizona. I've got about a half a minute for you, my friend, but good to see from you. What's going on?
Brad, I wanted you to take my call after you talked to the Ron Paul
you
guy.
You do? All right. Well, call.
Can I call back in?
Of course you can. Of course you can. Or you know what? You can hang on the line. I don't care. It's up to you.
Or can you leave me on the line? That's
yeah,
fine.
We'll leave you on the line. Okay.
And then,
thanks, Ron.
Call me in after you're talking to
we'll
us.
We'll see if I'm in the mood. All right. Hang on the line there, Ron. I think I have him on hold. I don't know how these phones work. You're listening. Yeah, he's on hold. All right. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, the vacationing Mike Malloy here on Hump Days with Brad. Live from the left coast, going to be an interesting hour straight ahead. I will tell you what you probably don't know about what's going on behind the scenes inside the Republican Party. It's a rather amazing story. And maybe we'll get some answers as to what's the point of all of this. I'll explain after the break. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Oh, please, please do stay with us. To the Mike Malloy Show, hour number two, Hump Days with Brad, here on the Mike Malloy Show. Mike and Kathy are off on a much-needed vacation. So it is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, in nothing but a good mood today because I got it all out of my system yesterday. I ranted like hell about the assault on democracy, the assault on voters, the fact that nobody knows who's winning elections because nobody bothers to count paper ballots. I got it all out of my system. Everything's fine. It's a kinder, gentler Brad. So, and it'll last, right? We'll see. Our phone number here, if you might like to get into the show this hour or next, is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. You can also stop on by the chat room at bradblog.com, and where you click through the first item, and you'll see everyone in there. For Earth is in there, Dwayne, Bill of Rights, Justin Time, Margot. They're all chatting along with the show. You don't want to miss it. It's like the Molloy Show Plus. So go on over there. And you can tweet me at the Brad Blog is my name on the Twitters. All right. Going to get to my guest here momentarily, but I want to sort of give you a background about what's going on here. And this is an amazing story to me that it seems that nobody actually is paying attention to, other than the Ron Paul people, to whom much of this is happening. And I was actually on the road last week, and I saw one of my relatives, and I said, you know what, you guys have no idea what's going on. And he's a big Republican, by the way. And I said, you have no idea what's going on. What could happen in Tampa could be a lot less boring than you think. And here's why. We've been covering this at bradblog.com, but there's a couple of components here, and I'm going to be joined in a few minutes here by Doug Weed, the presidential historian, the New York Times bestselling author, and a senior advisor to Ron Paul and the Ron Paul campaign, and he's going to answer all of our questions about this, and I have many of them. So let me just give you the background, because we've been covering this at Bradblog in county and state conventions all over the country. Something is going on. A couple of things are going on. But Ron Paul supporters are showing up in droves to these county conventions, these district conventions, the state Republican conventions, and they are getting their delegates elected. They're getting their delegates elected at the county convention to go to the state convention, and then at the state convention to go to the Republican National Convention in Tampa. Why? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute with Doug Weed. But on the way to that question, what's happening is rather remarkable. Several months ago now, for example, in St. Charles County, Missouri, my old home state of Missouri, the Ron Paul folks came out in droves for the caucus. In this case, it was the Missouri caucus. And they had what seemed to be a clear majority. And the establishment GOP was basically trying to ram through their own agenda against the wishes of the majority. First, they told all of the people that cameras were not allowed at what is essentially a public meeting, a public caucus. And thankfully, a couple of the Ron Paul supporters said, huh, what? No, we're not going to turn off the cameras. There was no vote on that. They needed to vote on it. They didn't. And the cameras kept rolling, and the establishment folks there tried to jam through their own chairman of this convention rather than having a proper vote. People started calling division, which is something in Robert's Rules of Order. It's like yelling point of order, except when you yell division, it's a non-debatable motion that is made under Robert's Rules of Order. And at that moment, if you're at a meeting which is running by Robert's Rules of Order and somebody yells division after a vote, then you have to stop and have a proper vote. So the chairman says, you know, all in favor, aye. You hear a few ayes. All opposed, nay. And then the chairman goes, okay, the ayes have it. What? What? And so, the Ron Paul supporters are yelling division, division. Anyway, the GOP folks who are running this caucus eventually call the police. The police come out, they shut down the convention without electing their delegates in St. Charles County, Missouri. The Ron Paul people reconvene out in the parking lot. The police come in and arrest the leader of the Ron Paul group out there, the ones who the Ron Paul folks had wanted to make him the chairman. He was arrested. Why? Nobody knows. At whose orders? Nobody knows. But he was arrested. That was St. Charles County, Missouri. About a week or so before that, in Clark County, Georgia, Athens, Clark County, Georgia, we saw a similar scene at the county Republican convention. And again, it was a majority of Ron Paul folks there. And the establishment GOP stepped forward. They said, this is going to be the slate of delegates. All in favor, say aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. All right, the ayes have it. What? They start yelling division. Then the chairman says, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting? I move to adjourn. A second. All in favor, say aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. Nay! The ayes have it. And they ended this meeting. And they put their slate that wasn't legitimately elected, their slate of delegates for, I think it was Mitt Romney down there, instead of a duly elected slate. It was unbelievable. All of this stuff has been captured on videotape. We ran some of this videotape at Brad. You can go to bradblog.com and you can see what's going on, some of this. It's remarkable. Now, we have a bit of good news coming out of Georgia, that story at Clark County, Georgia. Now, mind you, I'm not a Ron Paul supporter. I don't support any candidates. I support democracy, and I love it when people stand up for their democracy. I don't give a damn who they are. I love it when people fight like hell for their democracy, and that's what these Ron Paul folks were doing. They filed a complaint with the state party against the Secretary of the Republican Party in Georgia. The Secretary of State went along with the Republicans there, but they filed a complaint with the Credentials Committee, and I got good news from one of the folks down in Georgia just last week that, in fact, at the state convention, all of those delegates who were not elected correctly in Clark County, Georgia, were all thrown out. They were just thrown off the convention floor. So that's the good news there. Finally, I'll give you one more story, and then we'll go to Doug Weed to explain what the hell is going on. I think this was last week, maybe a little bit more than a week ago, down in Louisiana at the state convention down there. Once again, a huge majority for Ron Paul shows up at the state GOP convention. Just before that convention, the Republican Party announces, we've put in place temporary rules. There will not be a vote for the chairman of the convention. Well, you can't do that. You can't put in temporary rules and remove the right to vote at these conventions when they had already set the rules. So one of the Ron Paul folks said, I move to elect such and such as the chairman. I can't remember who it was. A huge vote in favor of it. The establishment down there was completely ignoring it. So all of the Ron Paul people en masse picked up their chairs, turned them around, faced the back of the auditorium, and started having their own convention with their own duly elected chairman. Of course, at that point, the GOP establishment did what? They called the police, and the chairman was dragged out of the room. And it's, again, all on video. And people are yelling, hey, he's disabled. He's handicapped. And sure enough, they dragged this guy out. I think they broke his hip. That's what's going on at these GOP conventions around the country. And other than that, what's going on is Ron Paul folks are getting their people elected to party positions, and they are getting their delegates on the ballot, even in states that Mitt Romney won in the primaries. So, Mitt Romney may think he won such and such a state, but Ron Paul may have more delegates elected. And in 30 of the states, if I understand this correctly, at the state convention, at the national convention in Tampa later this summer, in 30 of those states, the delegates do not have to vote for the person who won their primary or caucus. They can vote for whoever they want, including Ron Paul. I think in all of the states, if Mitt Romney can't get 1144 delegates on the first ballot, then on the second ballot, everyone's up for grabs. They can vote for anyone they want. What the hell does this mean? What the hell is going to go on in Tampa this August? Nothing? What is the game here? What are the Ron Paul folks trying to do? And remember, if the GOP establishment tries to keep them from doing it in Tampa, I suspect these guys ain't going to put up with it. Because they know the rules, and they know their rights, and they're fighting for their democracy, and I love it. I love seeing it. But what are they up to? We don't know. And that, you know what, let me take a quick break here. And Doug, hang on the line. I'm sorry, I just wanted to sort of give that background before we go to you. We'll have you for the rest of the hour. Let me get to a quick break so we can go to Doug. We'll have a short segment with him, and then we'll have a long segment the whole rest of the hour. Also, our phone number, if you have a question for Doug Weed, 877-520-1150. What are these Ron Paul? What are these Romulans up to? We will find out right after this with Doug Weed. I'm Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. Say this for the Ron Paul people, they are not afraid to shout when they are being put down by the GOP establishment, as we're seeing now in county and state conventions around the country, where Ron Paul folks are standing up for themselves against the establishment and actually getting their people elected delegates, sometimes the majority of delegates in all kinds of states. And what are they up to? What is their game? We will find out in a moment. I am joined now by Doug Weed. He's a historian and a New York Times bestselling author of more than 30 books. And he has served as an advisor to two American presidents. He is now a senior advisor to the Ron Paul campaign. Doug Weed, sir, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, thanks, Brad. Great being with you.
Glad to have you here. And sorry to keep you on hold for so long. But before we get to the game as far as why... what's going on, what you guys are after. I kept you on hold so long because I wanted to explain sort of the background of what is going on at these conventions. Did I adequately explain what we're seeing now in state after state and the way that the establishment seems to be pushing back against Ron Paul supporters who are often in the majority at these state conventions?
Yep. It's like the Russo-German front in World War II. It's pretty bloody.
it literally bloody. I mean, a guy broke his hip. Didn't he break a hip last week down in Louisiana as the police were dragging him out?
We elected the chairman of the Rules Committee, and they immediately arrested him after his election and hauled him off and detained him. And when he came back, his fingers had been broken.
Oh, my God. Now, this was the Louisiana State Republican Party Convention, about 10 days ago or so?
Yeah, last weekend, the one before last. And they knew they were going to be voted out of office.
Uh-huh.
So they hired off-duty policemen. They hired them to be there and then tipped them off who they wanted arrested. That's how they did it.
But the policemen had uniforms on in the video that I saw, and I didn't get
that's right. They're allowed to wear their uniform, but you can hire policemen. You can hire them to do traffic. Churches will hire policemen to clear their parking lot and allow them to. So they're not on official duty, but they're allowed to wear their uniform, and they're hired to maintain the peace or whatever. But they take the orders from whoever's paying them the money.
And we're seeing this as a pattern, Doug Weed. I mean, it's not just in Louisiana. We're seeing this in a lot of places. Is the national GOP sort of working with the state groups to try to keep Ron Paul folks from having any say at these conventions? Is this a strategy?
Well, it's happening organically, and it's happening with coordination. For example, in North Dakota, which Rick Santorum won, we Ron Paul people came in second place, and both Santorum and Ron Paul defeated Mitt Romney. Romney, nevertheless, took away 60% of the delegation. The way he did it there, the team came in from Washington. They had their own parliamentarians and lawyers. But what was key is they had their own audiovisual people. So they controlled the screen and the microphones. And the Ron Paul people couldn't nominate their own delegates. They couldn't go up to the screen and use a magic marker to write the name of their slate. So the slate was predetermined, and the Romney people were able to bag the numbers. But in many states, as you point out, they're getting beat, and they're surprised by this.
And tell me, because as I went to a break here, my engineer Tony said, "No, I can't believe it. This can't be. If Mitt Romney wins the primary in a state, then he gets the majority of the delegates." That has not been the case in a few states, has it not?
Yeah, in many states. And
many states.
Including his own state of Massachusetts. For example, 14 of the delegates from Massachusetts will be Ron Paul people, including some of his Romney's most important people didn't make it and weren't elected as delegates. But here's how it happens. The whole election cycle was gamed for Mitt Romney because he's LDS. It was arranged that the southern evangelical Christian states, which normally vote in a block, would be busted up, so they would not vote in one block. They'd vote on different dates at different times. Secondly, the vote would be proportional. So a southern state like Alabama, where you got a lot of Baptists, it's not going to all go to one candidate mm-hmm. like Gingrich or Santorum or whoever. So Romney will get some of them. LDS states in the West and mountain states were moved up earlier than normal. They were penalized for that. They were moved up earlier. Mixed state like Florida was moved up earlier because Romney would have more cash to then be able to advertise.
Doug, hold your thought there. We're going to continue this conversation after the break. We got a nice long section, and we're going to find out what the poll folks are up to. What is their game? What are they hoping for at the National Convention in Tampa? Speaking with Doug Weed, I'm Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
What's mine? And then the border they call, the border they'll fall, one and all.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. We're speaking with a presidential historian and presidential advisor to two American presidents and now senior advisor to Republican Ron Paul about what the hell is going on at these state conventions where Ron Paul folks are not only winning the majority of delegates in many states, as opposed to Mitt Romney, but also in many instances being arrested, being dragged out, having their bones broken as the GOP establishment is trying everything they can to keep the Ron Paul folks out. The majority of folks who are showing up at these conventions, often being Ron Paul supporters, trying to exercise their democracy at these conventions and they're facing a fight. What is that going to mean now for the Republican National Convention in Tampa? And will there be a surprise for Mitt Romney? So what is Ron Paul and his supporters up to? Before we get the answer to that question, Doug Weed, how many states now, particularly states where Mitt Romney won in the primary or the caucus, does Ron Paul now have the majority of delegates that will be going to Tampa?
There's no way we're going to announce that, but there are.
Well, isn't that public information?
No, it's not, because the delegates have not all announced publicly who they support.
And
you were asking earlier how this mm-hmm. occurred, and I was explaining that the system's kind of been gamed by the Romney campaign and people in the GOP who wanted him to win, and
right.
I explained a little bit how that worked demographically and the choice of states and the timing of the states. But in addition to that, in many states, Missouri's an example, the state rules were written, influenced by the Romney campaign, the state rules were written so that even whoever, if someone won the primary, it would be a non-binding contest, and the decision would be made at the state party convention. And they did that for Mitt Romney. They did it because Mitt Romney had money, and the feeling was if perchance he lost the Missouri election, which he did, he lost it to Rick Santorum,
right.
he could still win the Missouri at the state convention mm-hmm. because Romney, unlike Santorum, would have the money to field the organization to get people elected. What they didn't count on and what has happened is, as Ron Paul said, on the night when the main vote took place and the national media said, Romney barely squeezed out Ron Paul and won the main caucus. He
right.
didn't as Ron Paul said to the cameras and tried to explain. We didn't hide it. He said, I think we're going to pick up most of the delegates. Well, he was right. We did. So we're not flooding the state conventions. You can't, you read in the Washington Post, the Ron Paul people have flooded the state convention. You can't flood the state convention. You have to get elected at the precinct.
Right.
And then if you're a delegate elected at the precinct, you go to the district convention, and then you choose the delegates at the district convention that go to the state convention, and then at the state convention, you choose the delegates that go to Tampa. So what you're seeing now is a result of the victories we won in January and February that the national media didn't see that happened right under their eyes.
And it's still happening, it seems to me, under their eyes. They're still not covering this. You mentioned, Doug Weed, before the break, 14 delegates. You didn't mind telling me, apparently, that you have 14 delegates, at least in Massachusetts, Mitt Romney's home state. That's 14 delegates out of how many delegates in Massachusetts?
I'd have to look up the number in Massachusetts, but it's pretty sizable considering
so that's
that it's his home state.
Right.
And we didn't even contest it.
So there may be people who are delegates. Now, before the break, I had said that 30 different states, I believe, do not require their delegates to vote or free their delegates, even on the first ballot, to vote for whoever they want. Am I accurate in that?
It's actually more than that, because it depends. The RNC writes its own rules. It's like a private club. It's like a country club. So it's pretty tough for jurists to get involved in this and to take it to court. But the RNC, if Romney has the majority of the delegates at the RNC, he can override it, as they did the Nixon conventions when they'd have a rebellious delegation from Mississippi that was elected democratically. They would nevertheless seat their own cronies and disqualify the duly elected delegation.
How can Mitt Romney do that? And will the Ron Paul people, the supporters of Ron Paul, because I've watched these videos, they don't sit back and say, okay, yeah, whatever you want. I mean, they know the rules. They know the rules of the convention. How would Mitt Romney do that, shut out these duly elected delegates? And what would you expect that Ron Paul folks would do in the case that Romney just threw out the rules and said, forget it, we're throwing you delegates out, we're bringing in our own?
Well, that may happen. And Ron Paul himself is very much a gentleman, and you could see in the debates that he turns the other cheeks. He doesn't a fight. That's not in his nature. But you're right. His people are real scrappers. They feel that this country is corrupt, that the Congress is corrupt, that the executive branch is corrupt, that we have boots on the ground now in Australia defending us against China, and so we're using Chinese money to defend Australia against China. Well, obviously, Pentagon contractors making money there. It has nothing to do with foreign policy or geopolitics. So we've got well-informed people, and it remains to be seen what will happen, and the decision will really be in the Romney camp because they have the majority. If they want to fight, you're right. Our people who were duly elected are not going to let them break their bones.
is the game here, Doug Weed, to win the nomination somehow, or is this just a matter of we want to get our planks in the Republican Party platform in Tampa? What is Ron Paul going for here?
Well, under normal circumstances, the platform wouldn't matter a hill of beans. But when you have a paradigm shift, as you're having right now, I mean, this is the biggest shift that's taken place or transformation of the GOP since the 1980s. We've seen three in our lifetime, and that was the Goldwater shift that took place in 64, the rise of the evangelical Christians and their involvement in 1988. And now we're seeing, once again, the GOP transformed, this time by what you could call constitutionalists, and they're just taking over the party at the precinct level up. And so it's a real paradigm shift. So the platform committee is going to be an important battleground in this exceptional convention, and so will the rules committee. The rules committee, whoever the delegates are that get on the rules committee, they're the ones that will decide how the game is played in 2016. And it was the Romney people who stacked the rules committee the last time around that have helped him, given him an enormous advantage. Even when he was down in the polls, he was swamped by Perry, he was led by Gingrich, he was behind four or five different candidates at different points. He still won. And part of the way he won is like a football team wins, good recruitment. And that recruitment, so to speak, the game rules are decided at the RNC 4 years in advance. There's a lot to be won by the Ron Paul people playing the game in Tampa.
There is, Doug, but are you prepared to say, can you, Ron Paul, he's no spring chicken. He's very spry, but I think he's, what is he, 82 now, I think?
76.
Okay, 76. Okay, so he would be 80 in 2016. I mean, and he's very fit, 76, no question about it, but he would be 80 years old 4 years down the road. So are you suggesting they're just playing the long game at this point? Let me just ask you directly. Is Ron Paul still seeking the nomination, the GOP nomination for president of the United States in the 2012 election?
Well, the sun also rises, and Ron Paul has a son. He's a U.S. senator from Kentucky, and many people think he has a very good chance. And so he's been a ever-present thought in the minds of a lot of Ron Paul supporters. When they give a dime to the campaign, they know that this campaign has a future, unlike many other campaigns.
But I talk to a lot of Ron Paul people, and they say, oh, Rand Paul is no Ron Paul. I see a real separation among the Paul supporters between Ron and Rand. They feel that Rand is more with the establishment and with the Koch brothers and that sort of group, unlike Ron Paul, as they see it, as these supporters see it. Do you not see the distinction between Ron and Rand Paul?
Yeah, I do. It's pretty hard to compare anybody to Ron Paul. I mean, he won't participate in the congressional pension because he feels it's unfair. He won't go on a congressional junket because he feels it's a free vacation at taxpayers' expense. He's never voted for a tax increase, never voted for an unbalanced budget. I mean, he's this pure figure, won't take a bribe, won't take money from lobbyists or even meet with lobbyists. It's not like there's 20 or 30 congressmen like him in the U.S. Congress. He's the only one. He is it. He's incorruptible. So he's pretty hard to compare him to anybody. But when you compare Rand Paul to to anybody else in the U.S. Senate, he's it's pretty striking. And next time, that's what the comparison will be.
Okay. Well, let me take a quick break. We've got folks who may want to get into this conversation. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. I know we've got a lot of progressives out there. I know we've got a lot of progressives who don't like Ron Paul at all. And that's fine. As a matter of fact, when we come back, I'm going to hold Doug Weed's feet to the fire a little bit on Ron Paul, but I suspect he can take it. And we will also take your calls at 877-520-1150. This is a really bizarre story, and I got to say, maybe I just want this because I'm... I'm already bored with this election, and I don't want to see a boring convention in Tampa. I don't want to see a boring convention in Charlotte. I used to worry about what would happen. I don't know, worry is the word, but I was interested in what would happen with the Occupy folks at the Democratic convention in Charlotte. Now I'm starting to wonder what could happen with the Ron Paul folks at the Republican convention in Tampa. This could be a more interesting summer than I had planned. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy Show. More with Doug Weed right after this. Stay with us.
comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Yeah, there you go. That's for you, Doug Weed. This is the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. Speaking with Doug Weed, historian, New York Times bestselling author, and senior advisor now to the Ron Paul campaign, trying to figure out what Ron Paul's game is. And perhaps Doug Weed gave it away. He said, oh, yes, the sun also rises. So maybe it's a long game. Maybe it's more about 216 and Rand Paul. But for now, we'll stick with Ron, and we'll figure this out, and we'll take your calls at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. And I know that we got some folks who want to ask you a question, but Doug Weed, let me, we'll just get into policy, politics here for a moment, since we've been talking about democracy. I know that a lot of young voters out there, they hear Rand Paul talking about you know, get out of foreign wars, audit the Fed, legalize drugs. I'm sure you've had many jokes about you being a senior advisor by the name of Doug Weed for Ron Paul at this point. But there's a lot of, and those are all very appealing to progressives, you know, folks like Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul used to get together on many of those ideas. But there's a lot of ideas that he doesn't talk about that I don't think people understand. Paul, for example, would like to end federal agencies like the EPA and the SEC. He would like to mine or perhaps even sell off national parks. Would he like to sell them off or protect them? And if I'm wrong on that, please correct me on any of those points, Doug.
Well, you're wrong on the degree. For example, he doesn't want to end the Fed, even though he wrote a book, End the Fed, the title of it. But
well, as, yes.
As he points out, he yielded to the language of the street. He wants it to be transparent. He believes that every time they meet, we should know how much new money they created and to whom they gave it. You know, he fought his whole life to get an audit and was fiercely resisted, and finally got a partial quasi audit for 2008, the fiscal year, and it showed that the Federal Reserve had created $16 trillion in new money electronically and had given it basically to themselves, to the board members, their banks of the Federal Reserve. Some went to McDonald's. I think McDonald's got $550 million. General Electric got $700 million. So he wants that transparent, that
right.
The entire national debt was $12 trillion, and we created $16 trillion new dollars. Where did that come from, Brad?
I hear you, and I want the oversight, and I want the transparency.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm only going to rush you a little bit now because we're coming up at, to the clock. So, he did write a book called End the Fed.
Right.
But how about End the EPA? Would he like to end the EPA?
Yes. He believes that we should return to free markets, and I, Chris Matthews and I have had long conversations about that. He says, for example, hey, I don't want my meat to be contaminated.
Right.
But you have to understand your meat is contaminated right now. The system is very corrupt right now. If you open it to a free market, and I, as a free citizen, can set up my own meat inspection committee, I can promise you a quality that will be shown and demonstrated by a free market that can beat the government.
Okay.
Right now, the cows are standing in their own manure and wastes and ankle
but we need deep to but we need to improve oversight, not get rid of it. And unfortunately, we don't have enough time to talk policy. I'd love to have you back, Doug, to talk about these things. You know, I think we need an SEC. It may be doing a crappy job overseeing the financial system, but I don't know who else will do it. We need to improve it, not get rid of it, as I see it. But we don't have time for that conversation. Let me get to a quick call, if you don't mind. Chris in Chicago, I only have about a minute here, Chris. I'm sorry about that. What is your thought for Doug Weed?
Hi, Doug. I voted for Ron Paul back in 2008, and at that time, Ron Paul had told those of us that supported him to vote for any third-party candidate that was running at the time, which I did. I feel that everything that has happened this past week with Rand Paul that I'm not going to get into. I'm very disappointed. He could have waited till after the convention. But I do hope that all the delegates that will be attending in Tampa and all the Ron Paul Fest, that Ron Paul goes out and gives his total support to all the grassroots help that we have given Ron Paul over these years. I am not somebody in my 20s. I am retired. Ron Paul educated me, helped me learning everything about
Chris,
our government and the Fed, and that's what I just hope as a person. I have respect for Ron Paul, that he does support all of us, grassroots, any type of money that we could afford.
Thanks, Chris. I got to get out. I want to get a response from Doug. Sorry about that. Thanks for the call, Chris. Doug, so is Ron Paul going to support the Ron Paul delegates if they want to fight for him in Tampa?
Yeah, he'll stand by him and is right now, week by week, we're in the trenches. It's not over.
This is a really interesting story, Doug, and boy, I could talk to you about this all night, but I hope you'll come back. I didn't mean to give you short shrift on the policy issues. Let's talk about that at a future date, a near future date, because it's a hell of an interesting story. Thank you, Doug. Check out Doug Weed at DougWeed.com for his books, his presidential historian stuff, and DougWeed.wordpress.com to find out what is going on inside these Republican parties and the Ron Paul takeover thereof. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. Stay with us. Much more straight ahead. And your calls. Are we back? We're back. We're back. Welcome back to your Mike Malloy Show. Hey there, Truth Seekers. It's I, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. Yes, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalism, troublemaker. What? Me? Troublemaking? Troublemaker and muckraker and all-around swell fellow, says me. We've got a lively conversation, a lively debate going on in the chat room right now. If you want to join that debate at bradblog.com, go to the first item, the top item there, click on through to the chat room. It's free. It's lovely. And you'll meet all of our closest friends there. Margo Paez, Bob Kincaid, the great Bob Kincaid is in the chat room, is in the house. Jeannie Dean is there, all sorts of folks, so stop on by. Or if you'd like to be on your public airwaves, this is the hour for it. We've got a bunch of lines open, too. 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Don't wait until the end. And oh, by the way, you right-wingers out there, don't wait until the end of the damn show. Because you do that all the time. You wait till the end of the damn show. You come in, you say your thing, and I got to give you short shrift. Call in. 877-520-1150. We'll see if you have anything worth staying, but I'd love to talk to you about it. They're debating that last hour about Ron Paul and what to make of him. one thing I didn't get to, many things I didn't get to ask Doug Weed about, but, you know, for all his libertarianism, what's up with Ron Paul and his abortion thing? I don't get it. And I really wanted to ask Doug to explain that because, you're a libertarian, you're against big government. What bigger government is there than taking away the right for a woman to choose? I just never have understood that position of Paul's. The rest of his positions are largely ideologically pure. Love them or hate those positions. I'll tell you what. Here's the difference. And here's why I'm far more interested in Ron Paul as a candidate, as a politician, whatever, than I am in Mitt Romney and the rest of the liars in the Republican Party. Ron Paul's not lying. He believes this stuff. And, you know, a lot of the stuff you may agree with him on, you know, getting out of the foreign wars, ending this ridiculous drug war, you know, oversight of the Fed. But all the ones they don't tell you about, basically letting corporations have free reign. They like to use the word free markets. The magic hand, the invisible hand of the market. Well, I don't think it works out that well, personally, but Ron Paul does. He actually believes it. It's a legitimate position to hold, unlike Mitt Romney, who is full of crap, who will say anything he wants, anything he needs to get elected, to, you know, to be beloved, whatever. You know, I would love to see a debate between Ron Paul and Barack Obama, if only because Ron Paul would probably force Barack Obama to the left on many things. He is to the left of Barack Obama on many issues. I would love to see that debate. I would love to see Obama's feet held to the fire over, you know, targeting U.S. citizens, over kill lists. You know, the Republican, the GOP establishment certainly ain't going to. They love that part of the policy, no matter what they tell you. They love that part of Barack Obama. So they're not going to hold his feet to the fire. The Democrats, well, they got to support their guy, I guess. At least the, you know, Democratic Party, the politicians. You know, so they're not going to hold Barack Obama's feet to the fire, but on killing U.S. citizens, targeting them for assassination, Ron Paul might. Well, that would be an interesting debate, wouldn't it? In any case, it's a legitimate debate. And, you know, ultimately we get the government we deserve if we had a level playing field in the electoral system. By level playing field, I mean got the corporate money that is bastardizing our system out of the system. Had a voting system that could be overseen by we the people, in other words, hand-counted paper ballots, because that's the only thing I know that can be overseen by the citizens. If we had a level playing field in our electoral system, then we would get the government we deserve, and then we would have a hell of an interesting debate between a Barack Obama and a Ron Paul. And we'll see where things fall. We'll see where the American people fall. But right now, of course, we don't have a level playing field. We've got corporations who are just destroying our system. There's a fight. We're going to talk about this a little bit tomorrow night, by the way, with Justin Elliott from ProPublica and Sue Wilson from the Media Action Center. The FCC is trying to make a new rule that would require television stations to place their public political files online. Right now, you can walk up to any a television station or a radio station. These are our public airwaves, and you can ask to see their public files. And in those public files, it shows who has paid for all of these ads, all of this propaganda, these political ads, and, you know, they have to show you these files by law. So the FCC is trying to say, well, why don't we pass a law? I'm sorry, why don't we change the rule that will require the TV stations, at least in the top 50 markets, to put their public files online? Why should you have to walk to the TV station, knock on the door? Oh, can I see your public? Put them online. They're already public files. Well, the Republicans are trying to block that new rule at the FCC for some reason. The House Appropriations Financial Services Committee voted along party lines to prohibit the FCC from implementing the proposal to add this transparency to the political process. We're going to talk about that and some responses and solutions to that, some pushing back to that tomorrow night on the show. In any case, 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Well, I got some more. Well, let me get to some phone. Oh, certainly let me get to Ron in Prescott. He's been holding forever. Okay, Ron, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. Thank you for holding. What is on your mind, my friend?
Yeah, thank you, Brad. Are you aware of the firestorm that the conservative, non-establishment conservative talk show host who Ron Paul claims gave him half of his people and half of his finance funds is upset that Rand Paul has endorsed Mitt Romney and that Ron Paul has said nothing, and 85% of his listeners are furious at Rand and Ron Paul for Rand's endorsement of Mitt Romney
before
the convention started.
When did Rand endorse Mitt Romney?
He came out, and this was a few days ago.
Really?
I think 2-3 days ago.
Really?
Monday, I think it was.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's what someone was, what the caller Chris was referring to, because I think
yeah,
I missed.
Yeah, that's what she was talking
okay.
about.
Okay. Yeah, no, I didn't hear that. And no, listen, the Ron Paul folks that I talked to, you know, who have supported this guy for years, who love this guy for, you know, for good or bad, you say, well, what about Rand Paul? They go, no way. He's a pretender. This is, Rand is not like Ron. Rand is like Sarah Palin, and so they don't care for him. I don't know that this plan is going to work out so well, if that's the plan to, you know, 4 years ago pave the way for a younger Paul to take the nomination.
Well, here's what I think, Brad.
Yeah.
I've been following this for several years.
Okay.
And here's what I think's happening.
Yeah.
Ron Paul knew he couldn't get the nomination this year. Okay, when his son ran 2 years ago for the Senate and won, he figured he'd run this year just to get more support to build his campaign empire, and then hand it over to his son.
Well, listen, if that was his plan, I don't think that's going to work. So,
yeah, I think he made a mistake because he should have told Rand, do not give your support to Mitt Romney until after the convention.
It's going to be an interesting convention, Ron. I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate your holding.
Yeah.
And by the way, I appreciate your town of Prescott, Arizona. I love it. We went camping up there. I hope to go back there soon.
Okay, Brad.
Thanks,
Thank
Ron.
You much.
Good talking to you. All right, 877-520-1150. We'll take a quick break here. Come back with more of your calls. 877-520-1150. Your thoughts on any of this or other issues as well. I see Mark in San Francisco wants to talk about the emergency managers up in Michigan. Looks like Edward True is on the line. Cool. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy Show. Find out who Edward True is right after this.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small. And the ones that mother gives you don't...
Manic depressions searching my soul.
Well... Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy all week long. Don't worry, Mike will be back Monday. Our number is 877-520-1150. Don't wait till the end of the show to get in, especially you right-wingers, you know, because I can't give you proper. Anyway, 877-520-1150. And yes, indeed, I totally missed this. It was on Friday. I think I was stuck in Wisconsin land at that point. Last Friday, Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky endorsed Mitt Romney for president Thursday night. But he made clear he'd prefer someone else. Well, there's a ringing endorsement. I endorsed Mitt, but I'd like someone else. He said, in fact, my first choice had always been my father. I campaigned for him when I was 11 years old. He's still my first pick. The Tea Party favorite told Fox News' Sean Hannity. But now that the nominating process is over, tonight I'm happy to announce that I'm going to be supporting Governor Mitt Romney. So whatever it is that Ron Paul supporters may have in mind for Tampa, apparently they ain't reading Rand Paul into it. Or there's nothing there at all. In which case, Doug Weed, who we talked to in the last hour, in which case the senior advisor for Ron Paul, he don't know nothing either. Isn't it all interesting? Let me get to the phones here, 877-520-1150. And we've got Edward True. I'll tell you who he is in a second, calling in to us from Iowa. Hey, Edward, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I'll tell people who you are in a moment, but let me just ask you this right off the bat. I know you're a huge Ron Paul supporter. Do you also support Rand Paul?
You know, I support a lot of the things that he stands for, And I know there's been a lot of talk about Rand Paul's endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I think a lot of people are I guess not looking at is Rand Paul, has already came out, you know, a while back and stated he will support the eventual nominee.
Well, but he did a full-throated endorsement here. He said, you know, now I'm happy. He said, tonight I'm happy to announce that I'm going to be supporting Governor Mitt Romney. He was he has not said that before, Ed.
Well, the way that they're perceiving everything is that the nominating process is finished, according to at least the mainstream media.
No, Edward, according to Rand Paul, who said, quote, "But now that the nominating process is over, tonight I'm happy to announce that I'm going to be supporting Governor Mitt Romney."
Yes, and the nominating process is not over.
Okay, well,
that's the only one I disagree with.
All right, well, somebody ought to tell Rand Paul. Okay, Edward, you called in for another reason, but let me explain who Edward True is, because we've talked about you on this show before. So thanks for calling in. Back at the Iowa caucuses, you were one of the folks who stepped forward. You were the first folks who stepped forward and said, wait a minute, they were counting these ballots. They were counting the ballots publicly at the caucuses, in the Republican caucuses, but the party was reporting them inaccurately. And in fact, because you came out and other people confirmed that, in fact, the GOP was reporting it inaccurately, the GOP was forced to change their results to give true results, if you will, Edward True. And instead of who wanted it first? Instead of Mitt Romney winning, it became in truth Rick Santorum ended up being the real winner of Iowa with hand-counted paper ballots, publicly hand-counted, seen by everyone, so that Edward True could step forward and correct the error malfeasance that the party may have pulled here. And you can only do that with hand-counted paper ballots. And by the way, at the GOP caucus in Iowa, which was run by the GOP, they didn't require any of their voters to use photo ID. So that's who Edward True is. He's a hero of mine. Thank you, Edward. And to what do we owe the honor of your call tonight?
Well, first off, I'd like to say that you're actually a hero of mine. So,
well, thank you.
I guess we're each other's hero. One that I wanted to touch on. One of the other things that I've been helping with, I don't know if you had received my email or not, but I sent you a copy of it. There's a lot of the people, you know, that such as myself that have been involved mm-hmm. with being, I guess, defrauded and everything by the GOP, and there's currently over 100 of us, but we have filed a class action lawsuit against the GOP.
For what?
Violations of 42 U.S.C. 1971 to 1974, and then also violations of the Code of Federal Regulations 100.2.
What did they do in a nutshell? Because we've only got a minute here, Edward. Okay, very quickly, what did they do? Well, Edward, we lost you. Are you still there, Edward? There you go.
In some of the states, they went far enough to where Ron Paul delegates won the delegate spots, but they're sending them affidavits saying, you're signing this affidavit swearing that you will go there and vote for Mitt Romney. But according to your voter rights, that I don't believe they can do, because in there it talks about how, based on the color of law, you're free to vote for whoever you want. Regardless, there cannot be any threats or coercion or, I guess, misguided mm-hmm. attempts to make you vote in any other way but your conscience.
It's an interesting suit, Edward, and I believe I did get it. I haven't gotten to read it. You sent the email. Thank you for that. Where can people go very quickly to read more about this complaint?
Electionfraudremedy.com. Electionfraudremedy.com is where people can go. And then also, if people have been, I guess, disenfranchised or cheated from it, you can add your testimony and become a plaintiff involved in it.
Hang on the line, Edward. my God. Is it already the end of this show? This one's flown by. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy on the Mike Malloy program. Interesting night. I wanted to clarify it because I had to hard break there at the bottom of the hour, but the complaint that has now been filed against the Republican National Committee and Reince Priebus, chairman of the Republican National Committee, by some, I think we got 250 delegates, 250 Republican delegates. That was filed on Monday in the Ninth Circuit Court. I'm looking at it here. The case was filed up there in Santa Ana, California. Basically saying that the Republican Party is now sending these affidavits to the delegates, making them, forcing them to vote a certain way. And this lawsuit charges that that is illegal. We'll see if they're right or wrong, but you can get more information, as Edward True was telling us, at electionfraudremedy.com, where he says people can join as plaintiffs as well. Hmm. Well, that'll be interesting. 877-520-1150. And let's go to David in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hey, David, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, great to talk to you. Doing a great job.
Thank
you.
Hey,
you know, I just wanted to say I don't agree with any of the libertarian, well, you know, the smoking dope thing and all, you know, legalized prostitution, whatever. That part of the platform, but everything else as far as anti-regulations, if the corporations are so good at policing themselves, why don't they prove that they can do it first before we remove any regulations?
Exactly.
And another thing I'd like to point out, Brad, is that, you know, not the progressive movement, you know, we need to take these Ron Paul guys seriously, because, you know, not only are we going to be dealing with Tea Party members of Congress or whatever, we're going to be dealing with more Rand Paul people, because they are running for local office.
Mm-hmm.
They are running, you know, so we need to model. They're doing the grassroots things that need to be done to actually make a change within their political system.
You know what? I agree with you. And let me make this point, because if you look at these videos, we've got some at a Brad blog from St. Charles County, Missouri, from Athens, Clark County, Georgia. These folks going to these parties, to these conventions, and standing up against the establishment and demanding certain things from them, that you know, demanding that, for example, that they have the right to vote as per the rules, and they're going en masse in groups, and they're changing the party from the inside. They're getting, you know, their people put in charge of the party at the local level, at the district level, at the state level, and they're not putting up with any crap when the establishment doesn't want them to do this. Now, similarly, boy, I'm saying a lot of nice stuff about Republicans tonight, but similarly, the Tea Party, which is completely fake, and I separate them from the Ron Paul people. The I used to call the Tea Party, you know, Ron Paul used to be the Tea Partiers. He was going up against George Bush, and he had real Tea Partiers back in, you know, 2007. The fake Tea Partiers, the one that suddenly gave a damn about big government and deficits and wars and everything else as of January 20, 2009, once Barack Obama was sworn in, those are the tea baggers, as far as I'm concerned. They, you know, they're completely phony. But here's the difference. Whether they're phony or not, they too are changing the party, because they're scaring the hell out of the politicians. And they're putting up their primarying people, and they're, you know, running out the people who they don't like, who are too moderate, who are too reasonable, who are frankly are too sane. They're getting rid of them. So there's a lesson to be learned from that. And I talked a little bit about it last night, and I said that, you know, the Occupy people ought to be looking at that and looking at what the Ron Paul folks are doing. And they ought to be thinking about changing the party from the inside. And I know they shy away from electoral politics, but the fact of the matter is, things change in government. Can change this country. Government does change this country. And if you don't like the government you have, change the goddamn government. ain't nobody saying it's going to be easy. And yes, you're going to get a few fingers and hips broken as these Ron Paul people are getting at their own Republican conventions. But the Occupy people who say we're staying out of electoral politics, I talked about it last night, and you know, and I basically said, no, you know, you could stay out of electoral politics if you want. I'm not saying go out and vote for Barack Obama or Mitt Romney or Ron Paul or anything else. I'm saying show up and change the party. Become the party if you don't like it. But to turn away, there was a U.S. Senate candidate out here, David Levitt, who could have had the second slot in California's new top two primary. He could have run against Dianne Feinstein. He was trying to talk to the occupiers because he himself was an occupier. And I saw this firsthand. The occupiers turned away. They said, no, we're staying out of electoral politics. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? This guy is one of you. Wouldn't you like him sitting in the U.S. Senate? Okay. I got some email from Sandy. And she said, hi. This was a response to what I said about the occupier. She said, hi, you are so wrong. We in the Occupy movement believe that this system is broken. Mike Malloy believes the same. That is the reason for the movement's consensus to not get involved in politics as usual. Now, I appreciate that opinion, Sandy, but the fact of the matter is, yes, I agree with you. Politics is broken. The system is broken. The answer is not to not get involved with it. I never argued that, you know, they should get involved in politics as usual. I think the occupiers ought to get into politics as unusual. I think they ought to take over the whole goddamn party and fix it. Is it broken? Yes, I agree with you. Yes, I agree with Mike Malloy. It's broken. Who's going to fix it? Sandy goes on to say that the Democratic Party is a hair's breadth from the Republicans. Yeah, it is. Fix it. She says, we would be nuts to support and try to reelect Obama. I never told you to do that. I don't tell anybody to elect anybody. He is a war criminal and a Wall Street shill, she says. Okay. So stop insulting people who call in regarding this matter. If you are so worried about it, get yourself on the street, she told me. Well, I'm glad she did tell me. I'm glad she spoke up. Now, I think she misunderstood me because I'm not insulting anybody. And I'm not telling you who to vote for. One of my suggestions yesterday was that the Occupy people ought to be, if they don't want to get involved in electoral politics proper, they don't want to support any politicians, fine. How about support the process of voting? How about, you know, getting in there and making sure that people can vote if they want to vote? How about making sure that if they want to vote, those votes are counted and counted accurately and transparently in such a way that we all know that they were counted accurately? Yes, it's a broken system. Fix it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be harder than hell. And I know a lot of you are out there trying to fix it. I know a lot of the occupiers are trying to fix the system by occupying. And bless you for that. And thank you for taking the pepper spray in the face and the arrests and the outrages and the broken skulls that some of you have taken. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. I'm not kidding. People who stand up in this country and fight back, you guys are my heroes. So I would never denigrate, that effort. But when you have a candidate who is one of your own, who was there in Zuccotti Park from the beginning, and he wants you to think about voting, and he's got a great shot because of this stupid top two primary system we now have in California. When he wants your support to run against Dianne Feinstein, you're worried about Obama as a war criminal and a Wall Street shill? He had a real shot to go up against Dianne Feinstein, war criminal and Wall Street shill, to beat them all. And you guys didn't seem to want anything to do with it. And I said, you guys, all of you out there were not saying the same thing. I realize that. But the system ain't going to fix itself. It's going to have to be fixed. And y'all are doing great work, the occupiers, you know, on the local level, fighting, standing up for people, and the, you know, against the local banks and the foreclosures. Keep it up. Thank you for that. But this government is not going to suddenly get better. If it's going to get better, it's because people like you are going to make it better. That's all I ask. All right, let me get to Jeff in Tampa, Florida. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Mike.
No, he's not.
But thank you for having me on.
Yes. Thank you for being had. How can I help you?
I have in front of me a letter that was written to the Ron Paul campaign people, all the followers that came from Matt Collins, that was put out December 26th. I'm with Watch the Vote 2012, and we had been endeavoring to get vote monitors in all of the states where they were having caucuses, because caucuses are hand-counted rather than computer-counted.
Right.
And we thought, well, one way we could at least verify the count would be as if we could get monitors to get pictures of the tally sheets right there at the precinct before anything got left and got called in anywhere where anybody could tamper with numbers.
Yep.
And we were really working whole hog on with our site, making phone calls, promoting and so forth. And 1 week before the Iowa caucuses, Matt Collins, who was paid Ron Paul staffer, one of the big wigs, and particularly working with the Iowa caucuses because it's such an important one, put out a letter that basically told people to back down. Specifically, he said, Ron asked that you not contact the Iowa GOP or attempt to act as an observer for the count on caucus night, as uncoordinated actions hurt our cause more than they help.
Hang on, Jeff. So you're saying that Ron Paul did not want people to observe what was going on at those caucuses and take pictures?
That's what this said, this letter from Matt Collins.
Do me a favor, Jeff, and I'm short on time, but send me that. Go to bradblog.com. I got an email address over there. You can find it at the top right of the page. Send me that letter. I'd love to see it. I'm not doubting you. And by the way, if he did send that, I don't care. The hell with him. I'm glad that guys like Edward True stood up and did, report what was going on at those caucuses. And so, Jeff, I got to get to a break here. But thanks for what you're doing there at Watch the Vote. Is it watchthevote.org?
Yeah, Watch the Vote 2012. Facebook and .com.
Okay. Send me that letter. I'd love to see it, Jeff. A few more minutes here on the Mike Malloy Show and a few more calls, if I can get them in. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman, watching the vote, watching your democracy, watching the wheels go round and round. Stay tuned.
Like dolphins can swim. Though nothing will keep us together.
I'll never forget the people I met braving those angry skies. I remember well as the shadows fell, the light of hope in their eyes. And though I'm far away, I still can hear them say, thumbs up. Or when the dawn comes up, there'll be bluebirds over the wild.
My thanks tonight to my guests, Trent Lang. You can get more information on AB 16. What is it? AB 1648 at yesfairelections.org. Also, my thanks to Doug Weed. Check his blog out at dougweed.wordpress.com. Find out what's going on inside the Romulan brains right now in the Ron Paul side of the Republican Party. Also, my thanks, as ever, to engineer Tony Sorrentino. super-duper associate producer Margot Paez, who was today promoted to producer. Why? Because our usual producer, Desi Doyen, up and left us. She went out. She ran away with the Young Turks. Quite literally, she ran away with Young Turks. She's on the Young Turks doing something or other. We'll be able to see her doing that tomorrow or Friday, I think, on their panel show, The Point. My thanks also to, For Earth and Jeannie Dean in the bradblog.com chat room. And, of course, as always, to Mike and Kathy Malloy for entrusting me with their microphone. They will be back Monday. We'll be back tomorrow. A couple more minutes here. I wanted to doggone it. Now I had some comments that I wanted to read from Jeannie Dean in the chat room, who disagrees with me about my my thoughts on the Occupy folks. Can I find it? I disagree. Oh, here we go. Jeannie Dean says, I disagree with Brad on this Occupy thing. Telling people to fix the broken system by working within it is like telling people who are homeless to just get a home. I'm not so sure about that. You know, the Republican Party is broken and broken as can be. And the Ron Paul people really are changing the party. It's going to take a while, but they're changing it. You may argue for the better or for the worst. The Tea Party people are changing it. You may argue for the better or the worse. Definitely the worst there. But they are changing it. So I'm not sure I agree with Eugenie, but telling people to fix it is like to fix a broken system is like telling people who are homeless to just get a home. I can't agree with that. And then she adds, Brad, yes, Occupy is doing a lot. How much are you expecting from us? And she writes, and we do have folks working both within and outside the system. We need both. Well, I agree with you there. No question. Thanks for getting that in, Jeannie, in time. And let me get to a couple of last phone calls here as quickly as we can. Mark in San Francisco. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Thank you for holding so long, sir.
No problem, Brad. I wanted to bring up the fact that there's an all-out assault on democracy by the Republican Party. If you look at the voter suppression and what's going on in Michigan with the emergency managers, just basically assigning a mayor, replacing a mayor that was elected by the people.
Yeah.
This is a direct assault. I do not know, Brad, how anybody can vote for these people. I just can't. I mean, what do they have to do more before people stop voting for them?
Who knows if they're voting for them or not, frankly, because we don't bother to count the ballots. But yeah, what's going on in Michigan is unbelievable. I can't believe that more people, folks in the media, the mainstream media, aren't covering it. I can't believe that more people aren't raising holy hell up in Michigan about it. They are signing those petitions to get, to have that Rule 4, I think it's called up there in Michigan, to have that removed. And that's being challenged. They say that the font wasn't large enough on the petitions. So though 300,000 or 400,000 people signed petitions to get that onto the ballot, that's not good enough because the font wasn't large enough. They're challenging that. It's an amazing story. Mark, I gotta run because I'm up against the clock, but thanks for calling in. Do I have time to give Michael 15 seconds? Michael in New York, go, brother.
Hey, Brett, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, but I only have 15 seconds, so hit it.
I won't vote for Obama because of the kill list, warrantless wiretapping, the fact that he declares that he has the right to kill people around the world, including American citizens. Anwar al-Awlaki, for example, who was killed without a trial, without due process. This is a man who's a constitutional law professor. I'm appalled. I'm disgusted. I voted for him in 2008. Won't vote again.
Well done, sir. Good use of your public airwaves. I appreciate hearing your thoughts. We'll be back tomorrow night with another thrilling episode of the Mike Malloy Program. Until then, you can find me on the Twitters at TheBradBlog, at Bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman. Keep it lit.